Genesis 29. I was not certain how far I went when I left you a month ago. And so I'll just start at chapter 29. And it's such a beautiful passage, I want to read it all to you. It used to be Lord's Day mornings that brethren would simply rise and read a chapter and say nothing about it. And if it were read well, it thrilled your soul. So this is a story, an adventure, something of truth about one of God's heirs. And therefore, let us read about Jacob as he continues on. Then Jacob went on his journey. And let me tell you something funny. When it's translated, he went on his journey, it's Jacob lifted up his feet. Sounds like some expression that we would have today. But what it means is that he was frightened. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. And then he had this vision of God in chapter 28. Saw that ladder from earth to heaven and God at the top of it. And after that, he lifts up his feet with alacrity. He goes on his journey. And it says, he came to the land of the children of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, three flocks of sheep lying there by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. And the stone upon the well's mouth was great. And thither were all the flocks gathered. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, where are you from? And they said, of Haran are we. And he said unto them, know you Laban the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is it well with him? And they said, it is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot, until all the flocks be gathered together. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. While he was yet speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said unto him, surely, thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou, therefore, serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were tender, But Rachel was beautiful and well favored. And Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave Zilpah, his handmaid, unto his daughter Leah, for a handmaid. And it came to pass in the morning, that behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, What is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, It is not so done in our place, to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill the week of this one, and we will give thee the other also, for the service which thou shalt render with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife. And Laban gave to Rachel, the daughter of his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her handmaid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Please notice, there is a comparison. It does not say that he did not love Leah, but he loved Rachel more, because there are going to be various expressions that might make you think something different. Verse 31. And the Lord saw that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, Because the Lord hath looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, Because the Lord hath heard that I am hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, This time will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and she left off bearing. What is so remarkable about this man, Jacob, is the way that in spite of his crookedness, his deceit, his being a liar who would kiss his father and swear to him that he was Esau rather than Jacob, in spite of all of these things, God is with him. And I would wonder why God, who knows the end from the beginning, knowing what kind of man Jacob was, would choose him rather than Esau. It's not that you have 2 good men, but you have 2 men that are sinners in different ways. Esau was a profane man, and God did not want him. But then Jacob was as deceitful, was a liar, was one whom you could not trust. And so, how could God love him? They were both sinners. But God did love them. And God loved Jacob in a special way because the Lord works with what he has. Now, if the Lord were to do with us what some do with automobiles when they come in, I hear that some go over the automobile and make it to be just what it should be. And then they put it out on the lot. Well, concerning most of us, it's not that way. We come to God and He uses us the way we are and in spite of what we are. And this is what He did with Jacob. Who would ever think that God would appear to Jacob when he was in flight from his brother Esau because Esau wanted to murder him? Who would ever think that at that time God would reveal Himself to Jacob in a vision from heaven? But God did. That's a remarkable thing. You never know when God is going to come into a man's life and speak to him. We would think that God would wait until He had changed him, until he had developed. But it is God coming to him in all his unrighteousness and his deceit, and God reveals Himself to him. And when he does, Jacob is amazed and he marvels that God was in this place in a special way. And he makes this vow, this covenant with God. And so this is the first time in chapter 28 that Jacob ever knew God. There is knowing about God, and then there is the personal experience of knowing God. And this was when Jacob came to know God experientially. It's the same way with you and me. I was told about God. I went to church and heard about Jesus. But then there was a special time when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And so even though a man is unworthy and is filled with imperfections, God still works in his life. At times he works in his life then to get rid of those imperfections. But you will see that God did not get rid of Jacob's imperfections for the next 20 years, even to the last of his days. I remember this at the last of his days. When Jacob was an old man and Pharaoh asked him about himself, he said, "My days have been few and evil." And so here is one whom God had blessed his whole life long in spite of his unworthiness. But he thought to the end of his days and he said, "My life has been short, my days have been few," and he told this to Pharaoh. But in reality, his days had been blessed of God in spite of his shortcomings. And at the end of his life, only at the end of his life, did he understand the hand of God being in his life. And so let us carry on. We are unworthy. We would wonder why God would deal with us, but He will, and He will work with us in our sins as in our righteousness. He'll do what He can to make us rid ourselves of those sins, and then He will work with us when we make progress, when we start to do His will. Now, notice again the providence of God. God revealed Himself to him when he was all alone and had a rock for a pillow, and now he's traveled some 500 miles from his home. And now he's come to the place where his relatives are. His uncles, his cousins, his grandfather, all of these are there. And he lights upon a well in a field. And that well happens to be the very well where the woman that he's going to marry is going to bring the sheep in just a little while. Isn't that remarkable? How could that be? But we've seen it so many times. You remember how when that servant of Abraham went forth, he had prayed to God to work things together for good, and God sent him to the right spot at the right time, and the right things were said, and he said, "I know this is of God." And I think of a later day when Moses was fleeing for his life, And he went, and again, here is a scene where cattle and sheep are kept, and Moses, at that very spot, is introduced to Reuel, Jethro, and he has seven daughters, and this is the place that God saw fit to give Moses a wife. So what we have to do is to simply go through life and let God work things out. Here is Eliezer, and he goes to the right place, and he gets the wife that will be best for Isaac. And here is Jacob, and he goes to the right place and gets the wife that is best for him. And so it is with all of those that love the Lord. It says, no good thing would he withhold from them that fear him. So fear the Lord and go through life as best you can, because the Bible says, and be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. As with your understanding as best you can, do God's will. And then trust the Lord to work things together for good. Now, what is so remarkable about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is this, that all of them were older or old men when they had children, some when they got married. You'll find that Isaac was married when he was 40, but then he had to wait 20 years before he had children. He was 60 when he had children. And Abraham was married to Sarah, but he had to wait until he was 100 years old to have children. And when Jacob goes on his journey, he is 77 years old, and he has to wait 7-8 more years until he's into his 80s before he has children. You think that God would start early in life working with some, but it looks like God has made no progress in the life of Jacob until he's 77 years old. And then he starts working with him. But what happens is this, that God has a plan, and God has promised a Messiah, that the seed of the woman will come into the world and bruise the head of the serpent. And so he's doing it. And if you put great, 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 enough greats before it, you'll find out that Jacob was our Savior's great-grandfather. So through Jacob, and then Judah, and then Judah's line goes along, and finally, when the Lord Jesus is born of the Virgin Mary, she also is of the tribe of Judah. How remarkable. And so God is working out his life, and these things that seem to be coincidences, you'll find that the hand of God is there. And in spite of us, not because we're always perfect in doing God's will, but in spite of us, he's going to work out his will in our lives. Now, I've told you so many bad things about Jacob, but he has a redeeming feature, and you cannot help but deny this. He says, and listen to these beautiful words, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And all of us who have wives, and we think of women today, how many of us would be willing to have them as wives if we had to labor for 7 years before they could become our wives? We would all like to bravely say, oh yes, I would, but thou dost know the truth, Lord. So here we are, but Jacob proved his love for Rachel inasmuch as he was willing to serve 7 years as a shepherd for his father-in-law to receive Rachel, his wife. And it says, all of those years seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. So think of what love can do. Love, first of all, can come into a man's life when he is in his 70s, as well as he's in his teens or in his 20s. Love can come into his life at any time. And what is so remarkable is that concerning Jacob, it says that he was a quiet man, a man of the tent. He was one that you never read of as being romantic or wanting a wife for 77 years. And finally, his father, because of circumstances, and his mother have to send him away to save his life. And then, at the age of 77, by a well, he meets his first cousin, Rachel, and he falls in love with her. And this is as an old man, and that's when his life begins. Think, how old was Moses when he was married and his life began for God? So he was 80 years of age. Yes. And then he served God for 40 years. And now, here is Jacob, and he's 77, and he's going to serve 7 years for Rachel, and then he's going to serve 7 years deceived for Leah, and then he's going to serve 6 more years to get established in life with cattle and goods. And so here is a man who is almost 100 years old. And then he finally leaves and he goes back to that promised land that God said he would give to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so I'm thinking of my life, and I'm thinking at 77, I did not know if I would still be alive. And now that I am, I would certainly hope that the almost 50 years that I've been in the Lord's work, that they would be my life. But here, if God says, now we're going to use you for 77 more years, how remarkable. But whether they be few or many, I'm not going to be discouraged now that I'm an old man, because Jacob was a little over a year older than I am when God started using him in a way that he never realized was possible for God to love him, to use him. And I'm thinking of this also. Some of us husbands and wives, you say, well, love is for young people. Evidently, love is for old people as well. And old people can have that love. And if they do have that love, it makes life bearable, enjoyable, and the things that are so difficult along the way, they do not seem difficult anymore if there is love in our lives. Think. Jacob tells how his father-in-law Laban treated him and all the adversity and the hardships that he suffered for all those years that he served him. And yet it says he served 7 years, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That a man served 7 years, and it's not hard time, but it is easy, because at the end of his service, this woman is going to be his wife. And I'm thinking of this too. Here, as God's record tells us, he had not known this woman that he's serving 7 years for. And after the 7 years, he says, give me my wife, that I may go in unto her. And so here is he, and he can only be near her and love her and tell of his love and do all things except go in unto her. And all of these years of waiting, it says, they were unto him as but a few days for the love he had to her. And so let us go and pray that God might send love into our lives. And if that love is there, then the difficulties along the way can seem but a few days. But if not, if there is hatred And if there is disappointment, and if there is depression as you go through life, a few days can seem like 7 years. And so this is what love can do. And it's a love that can come from God, because it says we love because He first loved us. And so while loving God, let us learn to love our brothers also, and our wives and our children, for this reason. Jacob not only is to be commended because of the way that he loved his wife, Rachel, but because of the way he loved his children as well. In fact, he loved them, alas, the way that David loved his children. David loved Absalom, and David loved Adonijah, and he loved his children, but he ruined them. He never spoke crossly to them. He never forbade them to do the things they wanted to do. And because of that, Adonijah said, I want to be king. And it cost him his life. And Absalom said, I want to be king. And he was prepared to kill his father that he might be king. And he loved his children, but not intelligently. And so all of you fathers, remember this. You may be destroying your children. You think you love them, but you are destroying them. And Jacob loved his children, but he loved certain ones in a special way. When finally the woman he loved, Rachel, the one he loved most, had a son, Joseph. That was his favorite. Do you remember that coat of many colors? And so Jacob manifested his special and greater love for Jacob than all the other sons. And it says they hated Joseph for that. Jacob loves Joseph, and his brethren hate him for that. And then after Joseph, Rachel has another son named Benjamin, and he loves Benjamin so much that when he is supposed to go down to Egypt so that they can get bread, he said, my heart is bound up with the heart of that child, and if he dies, I will go down with gray hair to the grave. He said, I cannot spare this child. Now, he had 10 other sons, but he did not love them the same way. And he had trouble with all of these sons. And yet, he loved in a way that was good, and yet it caused the other children to hate Joseph. And concerning Benjamin, it seems like they accepted that. But here is wisdom that needs to come from God. If you have children, to be able to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to forbid things that will destroy their lives. And at the same time, to love them intelligently, and to love them fairly, so that the children will not be able to say, oh yes, he's our father, but he loves this son more than he loves all the rest of us. He doesn't care about the rest of us. And so this takes wisdom from God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But notice this, that there was in the heart of Jacob the capacity to love. And he wanted children, and also when Manasseh and Ephraim were born, he told Joseph, he said, no. He said, I'm taking over these children. These children are mine as well. And he had blessings for them. So let us forgive Jacob for many things, because he loved his wife and he loved his children. And therefore, the difficult life that he lived for some 20 years seemed unto him, it says, for the first 7, but a few days for the love he had to it. This is what love can do. Where love is. And it speaks in the book of Proverbs. I remember speaking years ago on it, a message, where love is. It speaks about a house that is filled with a banquet and a feast, and it says, better is a house with just a few things to eat, where love is, than a banquet and a feast with discord and hatred and dissension. And so this is what happens when the love that God has put in our hearts first of all to love Him, and then to love our neighbor as ourself, and then our fellow man. If there is that love, then life that seems to be impossible, it becomes possible. And in the case of Jacob and his love for Rachel, it said 7 years of labor seemed unto him but a few days. Now, even though God has promised certain things that the younger and the older would not inherit the usual way from their father, but the elder would serve the younger. This is what we're told in Genesis 25, when when Rebekah, the mother of these boys, when she had those twins, what is happening? And so she went and she was told that the elder shall serve the younger. And so this is what is happening. The elder is going to serve the younger. And God's will is being done this way. And here is this younger. And even though God's will is being done in his life, you'll find that he was trying to get God's will done in his life through lying and deceit. And he could have said, well, it was already foreordained that I was going to be the one who inherited everything. And therefore, because I have stolen, I have lied, I have cheated, because I've done it to get those things, I only was doing it to get what is my own. But you'll find that that is not acceptable in the sight of God. That what we have to do, if we're going to be blessed of God in the way He wants to bless us, is to be as Joseph was. Joseph, think, sold into slavery, lied about, being in prison, and yet Joseph never complained, and he never did anything to change those things, except send a plea with the butler. He said, remember me when good things come into your life. Remember me. And finally, after 2 years, God did remember him. But in the case of Jacob, Jacob and his mother tried to deceive, and they did it successfully, Isaac. And now, what he did to his father is done to him in a worse way, and probably it struck him as forcibly as it did his father. For this reason, his father Isaac thinks that he's blessing Esau. And suddenly he discovers that he's blessed Jacob. He says, what have I done? And it has shaken him to the heart. And what happens here is that Jacob goes to bed with his wife that he thinks is Rachel, and it turns out to be Leah. And his shock was as great when it came to wives as it was when Isaac was shocked when it came to sons and blessing them. And so if God has promised us things, do not lie and cheat and deceive to get those things, even though they're rightly us. Let us wait upon God, and He will bring these things into our lives. And then, if we do, we will not have the surprises that come into our lives as the surprise about Leah instead of Rachel being the first wife that he had. Now time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the ordinary things of life that you've recorded for us. Our God, what are we to think when you say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? How can we understand such things? But we can understand about wanting a wife and loving a wife. And we can understand our Father working for a living to provide for our household. We can understand all those things. And we are glad that you put them both in the Word of God. So, our Lord, let us look upon men and see that they may fail in many areas, but then again they may have some good thing about them that is a redeeming feature. Perhaps it's true of all of us. we confess our faults and our sins, but at least, Father, let us have a good point, as Jacob did, and be able to love a wife and children, and to love also the things of God, for them to be sacred, the promises that you've made. Father, we think of ourselves here, how small we are, and yet we've carried on because your Son said, "This do in remembrance of me." We are thankful for that, our God. Let us never be discouraged, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, because you promised, "In due season we shall reap if we faint not." So keep us from fainting, and give us a token for good. And bless these truths to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.